Hey, good morning. I know we already had a couple of prayers today, but three prayers away keeps the devil away. Amen?
Amen.
So why don't we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would bless our time together this morning. I ask for your Holy Spirit to lead this talk. I invite your holy angels to be here amongst us, Lord, and I just pray that hearts will be touched, and I thank you for this opportunity to share in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, I just want to read again verse 4 of Psalm 8. The Bible says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And I was wondering, have you ever asked yourself that question? What is man that thou art mindful of him? A few months ago, I went camping with some friends, and one particular night, we were kind of sitting around the campfire, and we were kind of gazing up into the sky. I don't know if you do that in the city, it's not quite the same. It's too much light pollution. But in the country, when you look up into the sky, it just kind of comes alive, you know? It's like a whole city up there. And as we were looking up at the sky, we were just pondering that verse, "What is a man that thou art mindful of him?" And so this morning, I want to share a few things with you, a few thoughts that I've come across in my studies that have really blessed me. And I pray that you'll be blessed too. So let me start with a question. Where do we live? Now, if you work for Amazing Facts, you can't answer, okay? They have an advantage. But for the rest of you, where do we live? Go ahead, don't think too long on it. I know you didn't know you were going to be tested when you came here this morning, but I'll give you a hint. Where do we live? Oh, very good. You get a gold star. We live on planet Earth. Hopefully everybody knew that, right? Okay. All right. Now, where is planet Earth located? Who knows where planet Earth is located? Somewhere in the universe. Oh, that's just such a broad answer. Let's get a little more specific.
Third planet from the sun.
Third rock from the sun. Okay. All right. Let me help you again. That's all right. We live in what's known as the Milky Way galaxy. How many of you knew that? Okay, I'm impressed. I didn't know that. I thought the Milky Way was a candy bar. I didn't know that we live there. We live in the Milky Way galaxy, and the Milky Way is a fascinating place. It's a fascinating place. It's what's known as a barred spiral galaxy, okay? Now, from one end of the Milky Way until the other end is approximately 100 million light years. Now, who knows what a light year is? Am I still on here? Okay, it's not hard to figure out. The answer's in the name. A light year is the distance that light travels within a year. Now, light moves at about 186,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. Going that fast, you could circle the Earth 7 times in 1 second. You can get to the moon in something like 1.3 seconds. So at that speed, you would have traveled about 6 trillion miles in a year, okay? That's a pretty long road trip. Don't want to pay for the gas for that one. But going that speed, it would still take 100 million light years to get from one end of our galaxy to the other end of our galaxy. It just kind of shows you how huge it is. Does it look like it's moving? You kind of see it has the spirals there. It kind of looks like it's in motion. That's because it is. Our galaxy is moving at about 485,000 miles per hour. 485,000 miles per hour. But even, it's so big, okay, it's so huge that even moving at that speed, it would still take 230 million years for it to make one revolution. Okay, so it's massive. Now, we are, I don't know, this, okay, good. We are somewhere up in here. That's where we are. And just to kind of give you an idea of proportions, if you were to imagine our entire solar system, just kind of take it and shrink it into something small enough to fit into a coffee cup, okay? The Milky Way galaxy would be the entire continent of North America, okay? Just to kind of give you an idea of where we fit. So we're very tiny in light of the rest of our galaxy. Now, this is a picture. This is an artist's rendition of what we believe our galaxy looks like. Because none of us, as far as I know, some might try to on 80, but none of us can travel the speed of light yet. So we haven't been able to leave our galaxy to turn around and take a picture to see what it actually look, looks like. Now, this is not an artist's drawing. This is an actual photo that was taken by the Hubble telescope. And this is the galaxy of Andromeda. And I'm told that on a clear night, you can actually see Andromeda with the naked eye. But it is it's relatively close to us. I mean, galactically speaking, it's only 2.5 million light years away. But it's the closest galaxy to our own. And it kind of gives us an idea of what our own galaxy looks like. Now, this looks kind of freaky, right? We just had Halloween last night, and it kind of looks like something that would be a decoration for a Halloween party. But this is actually somewhere in our galaxy. It's what's known as the Hourglass Nebula. And what does that look like to you? Looks like a big eye. Looks like a big eye watching you. If you ever feel like you're being watched, you are. We have evidence. And this is also, this is the Helix Nebula. It's kind of like God had some spare parts, you know, and he just kind of put an eye over there. And so what we have here is what's known as the Veil Nebula. It's also called the Witch's Broom Nebula. And as you can see, it's just kind of stretched across the cosmos there. You know, the Bible says that he stretcheth out the heavens, okay? So it's kind of hanging there in space, but you can see the billions of stars that are there behind it. And again, this is a picture that was taken. This isn't a drawing. All right, now who knows what this is? Oh, who said it? I'm very impressed. Praise the Lord. That's Orion. Orion holds special significance for Christians, okay? Many Christians believe that Orion is actually the gateway to heaven itself. Many Christians have that viewpoint. Here's an article I found. Where is the throne of God? Some speculate through the Orion Nebula. And there are many Christians that also believe that when Jesus comes the second time, that he will actually emerge from one of the open spaces in Orion. Orion has two open spaces. One is what's known as the keyhole. And I'm told that with a strong enough telescope, you can actually peer into that keyhole and kind of see that there's something there, but scientists can't really discern exactly that is, okay? And if you look, this is a kind of a panorama of the entire constellation of Orion. It's about 1,400 light years away from us. Again, this is a photo that was taken. It's not a drawing of what is actually there. And someone once wrote that if ever heaven had a front door, surely it must resemble Orion. And I look at that and I think, you know, they must be right. It's very, very breathtaking. Now, this is a very impressive photograph. It doesn't do much for you, though, when you first look at it. I know it doesn't look very impressive, but that's only because you don't know why it's impressive. So I'll share with you. Probably back in the mid to late 70s, NASA launched a mission known as the Voyager mission. How many of you heard of Voyager? Okay. They launched a mission. The Voyager was basically, it was on a one-way mission. It was going to leave our planet, and it was going to travel until it reached the outside of our solar system. It was kind of a kamikaze-type mission. It was never going to come back. But basically, all it was doing was taking pictures. It was kind of a mission of photojournalism. So it did this for 13 years, okay? 13 years, Voyager was doing this until it got about 3.5 billion miles away from our planet. And as it was traveling away, NASA realized that it was going to lose contact with Voyager pretty soon. So they sent a command to the Voyager, which I think is amazing that we can communicate with something 3.5 billion miles away. And I can't get cell phone service, you know, in the boondocks. So I don't understand it. But we did it. We did. And they sent a command to Voyager, basically saying, from your position, turn around and take another series of photos and send them back to us. So Voyager did this, and this is one of the images that came back. This image is what's known as the pale blue dot, okay, the pale blue dot. Can you see it? Can you see the dot? You guys can't see it? Okay. It's very tiny. It's right about there, okay? Turn the lights off. You want to turn one of the... It's pretty tiny, though. You probably still won't see it. Okay, can you see it better now? Okay. Do you know what you're looking at? Us, okay. All right, what that is planet Earth suspended in one sunbeam. In one sunbeam. Now, I've always thought that the entire sun was casting all of its rays upon us. But in actuality, we're sustained by just one beam of the sun. Amazing. Carl Sagan, who is an astronomer and a scientist, after the release of this photo, was giving a commencement address. And I just want to share some of his thoughts, because I think they're very noteworthy regarding this image. He says, "Look again at that dot. That's here, that's home, that's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor, and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species live there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam." Are you feeling very big right now? Hopefully no one is struggling with overexalted feelings of your own self-importance at this moment. We are very small, to say the least. We are very small. All right, moving on. This is what's known as the Horsehead Nebula. And can you see why they call it that? See the horse guy there? This is a part of the constellation of Orion, about 1,400 light years from us. And again, this is an actual photograph of what's there. Now, this is one of my favorites. Who knows what this is? Who's it? Okay, don't everybody answer at one time, because nobody knows what this is. Okay, this is Pleiades. Pleiades is mentioned in the Bible in a couple of places, and it's actually pretty close to us. Pleiades is only about 400 or so light years away, you know. But I look at that and I think it just takes my breath away. I mean, it's beautiful. You know, the Bible says, how many of you have your Bibles? Turn with me to, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's see, hopefully I have the right verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You'll all probably get there before me. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You know, and I read that, and I look at this, and I think, wow, that's so beautiful, Lord. And God is saying, it gets better. It gets so much better than this. How many of you have ever purchased a home? We have any homeowners here? Okay, but before you purchase a home, what do you usually do before you move into the neighborhood? Exactly. You scope it out. You kind of drive around and make sure your neighbors are normal and no pink flamingos in anybody's lawns. You just kind of scope it out a little bit, right? Well, you know, I believe, and I don't have a verse for this, so I mean, I'm speaking by permission and not by commandment. Take it with a grain of salt. But I believe that when Jesus comes, I don't think that we're going to just take a bullet train to heaven. I think that when Jesus comes, he's going to take us on a tour of the universe. And the things right now that we can only see in pictures and kind of ooh and ah, what happened to my picture up here? But the things that we see now, you know, we can only look at in pictures, we're going to be able to actually fly through the stars. We're going to be able to touch those things that they're just kind of, you know, okie dokie for us right now. We can only kind of imagine those things. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. All right, the Bible says, "For now we see through a glass," how? "Darkly. And we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." So God is saying, listen, right now you're kind of looking at things with a scale over your eyes. But when Jesus comes, everything's going to open up and we're going to see things in a way that we never... You're going to see colors you never even knew existed. You'll hear notes that you never thought you could hit, okay? I mean, it's going to be something, nobody's going to be disappointed when we get to heaven. I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed. All right. Okay, this is a constellation. It actually doesn't have a name. I guess the astronomers were tired because there were so many other things they were discovering. They just kind of call this NGC 3603 or something. But you can see it's just a cluster of stars, billions, trillions of stars just kind of hanging there, you know, emanating light. You know, again, we're going to fly through that one day. We're going to touch the stars. We're going to put them in our pockets and take them to our mansions and sit them on the shelf and admire them. It's going to be real. Now, the next picture that I want to show you, to me, is the most difficult to explain, but I just want you to ponder it for a moment, okay? Now, this is the one that created all of that beauty, all of that glory, all of that majesty. The hands that formed and fashioned all of those things are the ones that were willingly nailed to a cross for us. Just think about it for a moment. I remember several years ago, I was living in Miami. I was born and raised there. And this one particular night, I was home in bed and I was sleeping, and the phone rang. I don't remember what time it was, 10, 11, 12, 1, I don't know. It was a time of night where you didn't want to hear the phone ringing. And it was my older sister, Nichelle. We call her Nikki for short. And she had somehow gotten stranded somewhere on the streets of Miami. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Miami, but there's never a good time of day to be stranded there, especially not at night. And so she called asking, she wanted to know if I could come in and pick her up and give her a ride home. And we spoke for a few minutes, and then we hung up the phone, and I rolled over and I went back to sleep. And I never actually went to go get her. And I praise God she did make it home safe that night, but I was not willing to leave the comfort of sister, to help my own sister. And yet Jesus left the glory, the majesty of not just heaven, but of the entire universe to rescue Shamika, you know, to rescue Lori, to rescue Karen. When I think of those things, it makes me wonder, who is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? I want to encourage you to not allow the cares of this life to rob you of the life to come. Can you think of anything in this life that would be worth risking an eternity with Jesus for? Can anybody think of anything? Because there's nothing. There's nothing worth it. Anything. Pride, bitterness, grudge-holding, backbiting, gossip, thirst for position or power or attention or applause. One speck of dust trying to outdo another speck of dust doesn't make any sense to me. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming in my lifetime, and I believe that he's calling us to be ready for that. Jesus is coming to take somebody home. It might as well be you, right? Amen.